Mikey, it says recording in progress.
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
Okay. Boker Tov, Erev Shabbat Shalom, Parashat Be'alotecha. So, it's very interesting. I decided to focus maybe on something at the tail end of the parasha. The incident with Miriam and Aharon, speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu, is at the end of this week's parasha. And you see the Torah kind of probes this incident in depth. And we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu got upset at Miriam. She got punished. The Torah even speaks about a mitzvah in Parashat Ki Tetze. Zechor et asher asa Adonai Elohecha Miriam baderech v'tzatichem mitzrayim. Remember what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's one of the Eser Zechirot, one of the 10 things we have to remember always, is how Miriam got punished for speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu. And this incident with Miriam, very interestingly, serves the Rambam in Ilchot Deot when he speaks about the laws of Lashon Hara. He discusses, he uses this incident kind of as a kal vachomer, as a basis for the chumrah, for the stringency and severity of Lashon Hara. And he says that, look what happened to Miriam HaTzadeket. She was a nevi'ah HaTzadeket. She loved Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not like she was speaking out of spite or because she wanted to hurt him or whatever it is. She risked her life to save Moshe Rabbeinu. And it was her brother, and she loved him, right, many times. By the way, just as a side note, the Chafetz Chaim speaks extensively that people think that it's acceptable, you know, Mikey, yeah, in family settings, people think that Lashon Hara in the family is okay. Yeah, you can speak Lashon Hara, anybody in the family, you can say whatever you want. And it's a tremendous ta'ut. It's a very, very big mistake. Sometimes people think in the family, it's just a joke. Sometimes people think to speak about their in-laws in front of their parents or their brothers or whatever. It's a very, very, very big mistake because, look, there's no greater kurva. Look at the relationship between Miriam and Moshe, and that didn't help her. And she didn't even say anything bad. The Rambam says she didn't say anything negative. The only thing she did wrong was the fact that she equated, right? Mikey, what was the Lashon Hara? What did she say?
That she was Poresh, that he was Poresh.
She had a complaint. Hey, we're also Nevi'im, and why was he Poresh Meishto? We weren't. What does he think? He's better. HaKadosh Baruch Hu got upset that she equated Moshe Rabbeinu Adon Lechol HaNevi'im to their level of Nevu'ah, which was incorrect. He was on a higher level than them. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished her. It says the Rambam, look, and what do you think? People who speak Lashon Hara out of, you know, just malice to hurt others and to defame others and causing fights and all sorts of different things, how much more so, kal vachomer ben benosho kal vachomer, are they going to be punished severely by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So this parasha really is one of those times. Now, by the way, we find another instance in the Torah where somebody got tzara'at for having spoken Lashon Hara. And that's Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Right? We know that the Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do certain signs. And one of the signs when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu is he says, Havei yadecha b'chekecha, v'yavei yado b'cheko. He stuck his hand into his cloak, and when he came out, v'inei yado tzara'at kashalig. Why? Rashi HaKadosh quotes the Midrash. And he says that Moshe Rabbeinu got tzara'at because he spoke ill of Am Yisrael. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, go redeem them, take them out. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu tzara'at. Why? Because what did he say? V'hen lo ya'aminu li. They're not going to believe me. Oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that's Lashon Hara about Am Yisrael. At tagit kacha. And therefore, although it was a sign, that's true, but it was partially a punishment to Moshe Rabbeinu for having spoken ill on his level of Am Yisrael. So obviously, if you remember, Baruch Hashem, it's a period of time we'd like to forget, but when we were still all on Zoom and quarantined, so Baruch Hashem, for a long time, we had a nice series on Hilchot Lashon Hara from Sefer Chafetz Chaim. I know my Talmidim, right, they're also continuing to learn Sefer Chafetz Chaim and SBM Nachon. So it's very important, just like we're very, very careful about other halachot. Unfortunately, like the Gemara tells us in Masechet Bava Batra, rubam begezel, umi'otam ba'arayot, v'chulam ba'avak lashonara. Most people are somehow or another they transgressed the laws of theft. Only a minority of people are engaged in promiscuous relationships, and everybody, says the Gemara, transgresses the isurim of avak lashon hara. It's nearly impossible, just like any of the other halachot of the Torah, but especially with regards to lashon hara, it's nearly impossible not to transgress the terrible prohibition of lashon hara without learning the laws and without mastering, especially Sefer Chafetz Chaim. Now, the Rambam Kedarko BaKodesh, he doesn't speak at length about these laws. He speaks about the basic laws of lashon hara. He speaks about Hilchot De'ot, Perek Zayin.
Yeah.
Now he says like this. Yeah. We know the Torah, not only because of Miriam, but the Torah says an explicit verse that prohibits speaking lashon hara. The Torah says, Lo telech rachil be'amecha, which means that a person is not, don't be a gossip monger among your nation. What does that mean? Says the Rambam, what is the definition of lashon hara? So he says like this, Ezeu rachil, ze she'to'en dvarim ve'olech mizeh lazeh, a person who takes words and spreads words from one person to another. Ve'omer, kach amar ploni, o kach ve'kach shamati al ploni, you know, so-and-so said this, or I heard this and this about so-and-so. Af al pishu emet, even though it's the truth, harei ze machriv et ha'olam, ve'gadol avono min neso. This person, this gossip monger, even if it's not negative, we're not even talking about negative now, just to speak about random things, this person did this, this person did that, this person said this, that is called a gossip monger, and that causes destruction to the world. And he says, Shegorim laharog nefashot rabot miYisrael, this causes countless deaths in Am Yisrael. Lekach nismach lo bakatuv, in the very same pasuk, what does it say? Lo telech rachil be'amecha, lo ta'amod al dam re'echa. Do not stand on your brother's blood. And he says, now, this is one level. This is what we call rechilut. And then there's something even worse than rechilut. What's that? That's what we call classic lashon hara. What's lashon hara? The Rambam, the very next halakha, the Rambam says, Hamsapir bignut chavero, afal pi she'omer emet. Now, it's not only that you're gossip mongering, now you're speaking ill, you're speaking negative, derogatory about a fellow Jew. Even if it's true, hu bichlal avon lashon hara, she'alav ne'emar yachret Adonai kol sifte chalakot, lashon medaberet gedolot, v'shakulu keneged shalosh averot hachamurot she'batorah. This sin of lashon hara, of evil speech, speaking ill of another Jew, even if it's true, right? Even if, you know, there's, especially in the United States, democracy believes in freedom of the press. Unless you're Republican, then you don't deserve freedom of the press. But in general, right? In general, First Amendment dictates that there's a freedom of speech, freedom of the press. The Torah doesn't believe in that. The Torah says that a person is obligated to curtail what he says. We're not allowed, right? There's a saying, whatever's on the lung is on the tongue, right? And especially if you are very open with what you feel in this generation, it's considered very, you know, very chashuv. And when you're so open, the Torah tells you no. The Torah does not allow us to be so open with every one of our thoughts and every one of our emotions. Not everything that we think can we say. Yeah, you can't. There's forbidden speech of lashon hara. There's ona'at dvarim. There are diburim asurim. Right. There is. What's his name? Nivul ha'peh, speaking all sorts of things that a person shouldn't speak about, vulgarities. A person has to be very, very careful what he speaks about. The Torah has very, very clear guidelines about what we can and cannot say. And he says the Rambam, that this Isur of Lashon Hara is tantamount, is even worse than all three cardinal sins. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayot, Ushfichut Damim. That's based on a Talmud Yerushalmi in the beginning of Masechet Pe'ah. So, anyway, we see how, you know, it's very, very, and the Rambam quotes that even if it's emet, even if it's true, just because it's true doesn't mean it's mutar to be said, right? What do we call, we spoke about this also in Hilchot Lashon Hara, what do we call a person who speaks ill of another and it's a lie? That's an even worse avon. What's that called? Anybody remember?
Motzi Shemra.
Motzi Shemra or Motzi La'az. Person who's Motzi, person who speaks ill of somebody and it's not even true, that's even worse. So you have three separate Isurim. Rechilut, Lashonara, Hotzeat Shemra, right? Rechilut, gossip mongering, even if you're not saying anything wrong. Lashonara, speaking ill of another person, even if it's true. Hotzeat Shemra, lying, slandering a person about something that's not true. All these are isurim chamurim ad me'ot. Nevertheless. Yeah. So, nevertheless, we see from the Gemara and from the Poskim that the Torah means to institute the isur of Lashon Hara only when a person intends to cause harm to a person, to speak derogatory about a person, when all you mean to do is to insult and say bad about a person. However, there's a very important word, and it's thrown around a lot in the laws of Lashon Hara, so you have to really know when to apply it and when not to, but there's something called to'ailet, which means that if there is a real need, if there's necessity, if there's good reason for saying this that is going to be helpful, beneficial to other people, and it's because of that that you speak the Lashon Hara, not in order to denigrate the person, in certain cases, then it will be mutar. Now, for instance, in order to prevent damage, physical, emotional, financial, there's another Rambam. How do I know? The Rambam himself says. There's another Rambam in Pirik Aleph of Ilchot Rotzeach Halacha Yudavet. Rambam writes as follows. Kol hayachol lehatzil et chavero ve'eno matzilo. If a person has the ability to save another Jew, and he does not, over alo ta'amod al dam re'echa, a person transgresses the sin of standing idly by on your brother's blood. Lefikach, the Rambam gives a few examples now. Listen carefully. Lefikach haro'e et chavero toveya bayam, o shadistim bayim alav, viyachol le'atzilon. If a person sees a fellow Jew, drowning or being attacked by bandits, and you're able to jump in and save him, and you do not. O sheshama she'anashim choshvim alav ra'a, v'tomnim lo pach, or you hear other people plotting against him and setting a trap for him. Velo gila ozen chavero le'odio, and you didn't tell your brother, your fellow, about this plot. All of these examples and more are transgressions of the Torah commandment of not standing idly by your brother's blood, which means that a person shouldn't say, hey, wait a second. You know, I heard something bad about my friend. I can't tell him what somebody else is plotting against him because that's Lashon Hara. No, on the contrary, says the Rambam, there are conditions. But when all conditions are met, and you're not saying this in a derogatory way, you're saying it in order to save your friend from clear and present danger, over there, that's not a transgression of Lashon Hara if you say it. On the contrary, it's a transgression of not standing by, idly by your brother's blood if you don't say it. You must say it. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this as halacha in Choshen Mishpat Siman Tav Kavav, the second to the last Siman in Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat. He says Meforash. So, for instance, Maran Zichron Levracha was asked the following question. It's a very interesting question. It's in Yechaveh Da'at Chelek Dalet, Siman Samach, Divrei Sofrim. Remember, Dalet Samach. So anyway, he was asked as follows. Let's say a person is applying for a driver's license. And you know that the person has some sort of illness that would prevent him from the safe operation of a vehicle. For instance, let's say you know he's epileptic, bar minan. And if a person's epileptic, it's very, very dangerous. If he gets a seizure in the middle of driving, bar minan, he can get into an accident, hurt himself, hurt other people, kill himself. It's not a joke. Yeah, what's the halacha? Is a person allowed to divulge this to the authorities? Are you allowed to tell this information to the DMV or whoever it is that you need to tell in order to prevent him from getting the license or any other situation like that?
Yes.
Why?
Yes, because you're also safeguarding that person from hurting themselves as well as other people also.
So he's going to, if he finds out about it, he's going to be extremely insulted and he's going to accuse you of Isur Lashon Hara Midoraita. Ma halacha. So Maran Zichron Levracha discusses this in Yechaveh Da'at. And he says, no. He says, it's not the case. He says, over there you have an obligation because contrary to the Isur of Lashon Hara, you have the mitzvah of Lo Ta'amod Al Dam Re'echa. When there's a matter of public safety or even private safety, right? We said a person is obligated to take away nezakim, to remove damages, suffering, death, financial damage also. He says over here in Ichavedat, doctors, it gets even more complicated because doctors have to abide by HIPAA, right? You know, I don't remember what it stands for, but that's the, you know, the Privacy Act. It's a Privacy Act that was passed by Congress, and they could get into real trouble. But over here, Maran Zichron Berachah says that they have a
health response. Health information privacy.
Yeah, so they have an obligation to protect their patient's privacy. Ve'im kol ze, nevertheless, if there is a chashash, if there is clear and present danger in this situation because of the driver's license or whatever other example that you can think of, or, you know, we don't have to branch out so far. You know, the Chafetz Chaim himself, in Sefer Chafetz Chaim, Ilchot Rechilut, Perek Tet, he speaks about many different examples. For instance, let's say you have a person who's walking into a store. You have a person who's walking into a store, and he's a tamim. He's a, you know, he's very naive. And the store owner, he's a very, very cunning and ruthless businessman that likes to take advantage of people, and you know that he does. And this is his dream. You know, these kind of businessmen, their dream is to have such customers, right, Mikey? These naive customers. And you see
their eyes widen.
You see this customer, no ma'alacha akshav, you see this customer walking in, and you know that he's a sitting duck. You know, he walks in, this guy is going to take him for the ride of his life. Ma'alacha, can you tell the person, you know, be careful, watch out, or is that isur lashon hara? Says the Chafetz Chaim, under... No, it's okay. I'm going to finish up soon. Sorry, I'm just at home. It's a little... it's not case matters. Anyway, Bekitzur, so... la'alacha, although there are, you have to look over there where I told you, or, for instance, let's say, you know, one of the hottest areas of lashon hara in the Jewish world today is, yeah, what is it, Mikey?
Media.
Forget it. Social media, that's vaday. Shiduchim, rabotai, shiduchim. Mm. It's a big, big hotbed for isurei lashon hara. Nevertheless, the Chafetz Chaim himself speaks of different applications where, under certain circumstances, and Baruch Hashem, right? Mikey will tell you there's legitimate shailas that come up, and there are certain times that there are certain kinds of information that you have to divulge, and certain things that you don't. For instance, let's say one of the prospective spouses, one of the boy or the girl, has a machala pnimit, an internal illness, and they're not talking about it. That's something that has to be divulged if they're really not being honest about it, because that's something that could impact the marriage. Or if there's all sorts of, the Chafetz Chaim talks about kfira in the family. If, let's say, somebody in the family or the Chatan v'Kala themselves are kofrim and they have a bad hashkafat Torah, and if they get married, that could really, really mess up the marriage in the long run. That's a problem. And that should be brought under the conditions set forth by the Chafetz Chaim. It should be brought to the attention of the shatchan or of the family so that they can make an educated decision. Now, you know, you have to be very careful because sometimes people like to divulge useless information. You know, sometimes information that they say by shiduchim is really, really useless, and it doesn't make a difference to the shiduch in any way. So over there, you have to really be careful. But otherwise, you know, if there are certain pieces of information that a person has to know, in order, or, for instance, Maran Zichron Berachah in Yichavedat over here brings down Piskei Din Rabbanim of Volume 5. He says over here, in the Bet Din, there was a question that arose in the army. There was a person in the Israeli army, and the army had his medical records, and these records were subpoenaed by the Bet Din Gadol in order to be able to make a decision in divorce proceedings. So the question was whether or not the army was allowed to give up these medical records because of, you know, privacy and lashon hara and stuff like that, when the Bet Din understood that it would be very beneficial towards making important decisions in divorce proceedings. And over there, they made a decision that, no, this is l'to'elet gmura, and you have to be able to protect the woman and divulge any relevant information in order to make the most appropriate decision in that case. So, Rabotai, it is, you know, these are very, 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 you know, you have to, Lashon Hara is a balancing act, and you have to be proficient in the laws, like we said to begin with. But it's very important for people, you know, sometimes people are too quick to pull the trigger on speaking Lashon Hara, but sometimes, on the other hand, there are poskim, the Pitrei Tshuva brings down, that sometimes people, on the other hand, they don't say and they don't share what they should, because on the other hand, no, Lashon Hara. You have to know, just like anything else, everything is a balance. Sometimes you have to speak and sometimes you don't. So in the specific instances that we spoke about, that when a person poses a public health hazard, if he's a risk, you have to be, you know, very aware that you have to share the, you know, or for instance, somebody is selling their house and somebody else is moving in and you know that that new neighbor could be a risk or some sort of liability to your neighbor, you have to tell him. You have to be straightforward with him, you know, and put Lashon Hara aside and be honest with the person so that you don't be over, you don't transgress the isur of lo ta'amod al dam re'echa. So that is with regards to a little bit of a snippet, what we see from Parashat HaShavua about Hilchot Lashon Hara. I'm going to pause here for a second and move on to a Dvar Torah in the parasha. Any questions before we end, by the way?
Probably, so I want to add a question. These various news outlets that claim to be more religious than others, is there any issue over there to whatever they post?
So let's get one thing clear here. You know, whatever the not everything that shows up in a so-called frum website is necessarily kosher to read and necessarily adheres to the laws of Lashon Hara or Chilut. You better believe that they don't have a rabbinic advisory board going through, reading through every single article that they post to make sure that it conforms to the laws of Lashon Hara. You think they do that? Mapitom. So, you know, use your own discretion and read or beware, just like anything else.
So, Rav, is there a problem from like clicking into one of these links? Because I read or heard somewhere that when you click something, you're sort of like giving them income based on their advertisements, and you know, it just increases their viewability.
So I want to say something. You know, the internet is a very dangerous place, and not only because of Lashon Hara. Okay, that everybody realizes. The internet is the cesspool of the entire world, and all the filth and zohama and, you know, just depravity of the entire universe is in there. So there's many, many... Lashon Hara is only the tip of the iceberg for the internet. And even on the so-called frum sites, not everything that they post should be posted, and not everything that they post should be read. So yeah, there are certain things that are permissible. You know, you're allowed to read the news. You're allowed to stay informed. But just like a person's careful with other isurim on the internet, like Marot Asurot and stuff of that nature, you have to be careful of the isurim of Lashon Hara and Rechilut as well. And I don't think it would be asur to visit the site per se, but if there's an article that, you know, smells like Lashon Hara, I would say use your judgment and avoid those kind of articles. What I'm trying to say is don't be confused by Hebrew letters or by, you know, certain keywords in the website. You know, I don't want to say anything further than that. But needless to say that there's no, you know, they don't have hashgacha, right? There's no badat zedah haredit or, you know, or any other badats or whatever on the website saying everything here is kosher. Nahon, that's not the way it works. You have to use your brain.
Thank you, Hero.
Okay. I'm going to, Mikey, I should pause or stop?
Stop. I'll do it.